Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial star RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We bring in Howard Beck from Bleacher Report to help us break down and potentially make sense, so if it's possible, of what's going on here with these New York Knicks. A really good article on Bleacher Report. Either the Knicks are getting KD or they just made the worst trade ever. So we'll start there, Howard. Appreciate a couple of minutes here on a Saturday morning. Where do you lean? The Knicks are brilliant or they just made the worst trade ever right here on Thursday afternoon?
Neither. You know, look, whether they know KD is coming, and I put no in you know, air quotes, whether they know he's coming, whether they're confident he's coming, whether he actually comes, you know, it's almost beside the point. You know, you have to evaluate the trade based on the trade, at least in the moment that it's done. And yes, it will change the perception of it, and the judgment of it will change depending on what happens down the road. If KD and a second star come in July, everyone will say it's a stroke of genius and a brilliant gamble, and it doesn't matter that you sacrificed your best draft pick in 30 years. And everybody will all be forgiven. People will be excited about what they got. If Durant doesn't come, if they get just one star and then they're trying to patch it up with role guys, and there's not much on the roster going forward as it is, based on, you know, just the, you know, where their contracts are for next season and beyond. If it falls short of that, you know, we'll see how people react to it. It's hard to know in the moment, but what I reported the other day, what I've written and what I've heard and what plenty of others have heard around the NBA is that the Knicks are very confident that they're getting Kevin Durant, that they have had that confidence for a while, and that they were comfortable sacrificing Porzingis because they believe they're getting a big payoff in July. I would say that's a heck of a gamble, but it's 5 months away, and a lot can change between now and then. And even if you believe you've gotten some kind of wink-wink assurances about Durant, that's a long time away. And
I know, and that's what gets me nervous, because we heard how many months ago Kyrie Irving up there in Boston saying, I'm re-signing with the Celtics. This is a done deal. Don't ask me any questions. Yesterday he addresses the media here in New York, and it was, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing what's best for me, and we'll find out on July 1st. So, yeah, maybe today Kevin Durant says, you know, Perry, or there's a wink-wink under the table kind of a deal. We're going to get this done. We don't know what's going to happen 5 months from now.
No, and Kevin Durant himself doesn't know what he'll feel 5 months from now. I mean, at this time a couple of years ago, whichever year it was, did he know he was going to leave Oklahoma for the Warriors? You know, if you roll back the clock, there's no way that Oklahoma knew that Paul George was staying when they traded for him, and there's no way that Paul George himself could have known that he was going to stay in Oklahoma, because Paul George, like a lot of guys, and like we're seeing again and again, wanted to go to L.A. Paul George did not go to L.A. He got traded to Oklahoma and decided to stay. The Raptors traded for Kawhi Leonard, and we'll see if he decides to stay in Toronto instead of going to Los Angeles himself. You know, guys can put out there, and just as it's happening with Anthony Davis now, and seems to always be L.A., Anthony Davis saying, you know, or people putting out word on his behalf that he only wants to stay or re-sign with the Lakers to try to scare off other trade partners, because at this moment, maybe that's what he wants. But things change. And so, to your point, I mean, Durant could have his people signaling that he's coming to New York, but it doesn't necessarily work out that way. And Durant's options will be, you know, very attractive in multiple directions. He can stay with a Warriors team that is probably going to its, you know, fifth straight finals, potentially winning a third straight championship. And he could play, you know, for this phenomenal organization that does everything right at every level and has great teammates in Curry and Clay. And yes, Draymond is a little problematic at times, but still a phenomenal teammate. And if you decide you want to leave, if you decide you just want to explore something new, well, the Clippers have a pretty good sale to make in down there. They've got a championship coach in Doc Rivers and a really smart front office and a team that is winning at a pretty high level with a bunch of really good players, some of whom have to go to make cap room, but they've actually got a program already in place, a roster already in place that can win right now, and you plug Durant into, they're a high-level playoff team. you plug Durant into the Brooklyn Nets right now, they're a high-level playoff team because they've already got a bunch of really good players who are established and a great coach and a great front office. The Knicks are a much bigger unknown. They don't really have players you can look at and say, I can win with that guy right now. Is Kevin Knox going to be good? Maybe eventually. Is Mitchell Robinson going to be an NBA player? Maybe eventually. He's a project. Dennis Smith Jr. comes with a lot of warts. There's a reason Dallas was trying to move him even long before this trade. So who do you got? What are you selling to Kevin Durant other than if you can convince another star to come with you? And well, now we've got something. But they don't really have the infrastructure.
Howard Beck, Bleacher Report, host of the Full 48 podcast on iTunes. And the reason we have you on is the article, which is interesting. Either the Knicks are getting KD or they just made the worst trade ever on BleacherReport.com. And I was reading that article and it kind of intimated that there were teams that might have been interested in Porzingis that were not involved, that didn't even know that he was on the trading block and available. I mean, did the Knicks just do this in a rush, in a hurry?
Well, the Knicks have tried to, or the Knicks certainly have said, I think both on and off the record, that they did shop him around a little bit. And I think Scott Perry is on the record as saying that they talked to 8 or 9 teams or something like that. But I talked to multiple people on the day it happened who said they had no idea that he was even being shopped around. This took a lot of people by absolute surprise around the league. And if that's the case, you know, listen, it's understandable, right? They already had a strained relationship with him. And if you shop him around and somehow don't find the right deal and you don't trade him, now you're stuck with him. Now he's got one more reason to be, you know, aggrieved. Although I don't know that it was going to be any worse than it already was anyway. But I think they really did limit the discussions. I don't know how many teams they actually talked to. They can say 8 or 9, but based on what I was hearing from people the other day, I don't think it was a lot. And so, yeah, as one person told me off the record, you know, one anonymous quote I used in the piece, that it doesn't look like they did their due diligence. And when you're moving a guy who's a 23-year-old all-star, who not long ago was looked at as a top 20 player in the NBA before the ACL, and may still get back to that, and you expect will still get back to that, you know, you got to get the most bang for the buck. You got to get the best possible payoff. And you know, especially because, you know, he's a fan favorite. He's the first guy that Knicks fans actually in decades could say, here's a guy we drafted that we think we can build around for years to come. Best draft pick they've had since Patrick Ewing. That's a long time. So before you sacrifice him, as I wrote, sacrifice him on the altar of your own mistakes because they were using him as the way to pawn off their bad contracts.
Yeah, and taking a guy that they wanted originally anyway.
Yeah, you better make sure that you know you're getting the most for it. I mean, listen, there's a number of ways. If you decide you have to trade him for whatever reason, then we can argue about whether or not they needed to trade him. But if you're going to do it, I'm not sure the best use of your best trade asset, your best player, an all-star, is to use them as inducements to get rid of bad contracts. As again, another executive told me the other day, it's never happened before. No one's ever just taken their all-star, not even in his prime, pre-prime. It's 23. Mm-hmm. Prime years are like, you know, 25, 6, 7, 28. Taken that asset and used it just to get rid of bad contracts. I just don't know that that's ever happened in the NBA. I don't know that that's the best use of it. Normally, if you're trading a guy, you're trying to trade him for a lot of other really good players or draft picks. And yes, they got a couple of picks that are probably going to be low first round picks. And, you know, you can find value low in the draft. I would never dismiss the value of picks, but when you trade an all-star, you should be getting lottery picks, not late 20s or I shouldn't say late 20s, late teens to mid 20s, most likely.
Do you not like this trade for the Knicks?
You know, it's funny. As I say, there's two different prisms to look at it through. On its face, in the moment, I don't like the deal. Is it going to be the kind of thing where, in retrospect, if they get two all-stars on July 1st, we're going to say, you know what? It worked out. Listen, it's a massive, massive gamble. And if it works out and guys come, maybe even those of us like me who are skeptical of it will look back and say, you know what? Great move. You put your butt on the line. You put the franchise on the line. You took a huge risk that could have very well backfired, but you know what? You got the right outcome. And so you do look at it differently then. But yeah, as we sit here today on February 2nd with a very unknown future, I don't like it. You know, some Knicks fans are looking at this and saying, well, hey, look, this is a great way to rebuild. You're supposed to rebuild through cap room and draft picks. Okay, sure. If you were the 76ers who were in a complete teardown for like five straight years, that's the way you do it. If you were the Nets who had, you know, a completely bare cupboard, you make a bunch of opportunistic trades that you took on bad contracts, but you got picks with them to replace the picks you didn't have. And then now they're in a place where they, you know, the Nets can have, you know, two max slots themselves. That's what you do when you're in a complete rebuild. The Knicks were not, they were in a semi-rebuild, but they already had their franchise star to build around, Kristaps Porzingis. So this is not the same. They weren't in, this isn't like in the mid to late 2000s when Donnie Walsh came in and had to clean up Isaiah Thomas's mess, and they just had to like offload contracts just to get to a healthy payroll again and start over and figure out how to move forward. This is not that. This is different. And by the way, they've hit that reset button, the we're rebuilding button, like five times in five straight years. And they already had their guy to build around. They already had their face of the franchise. And in having Porzingis, one of the advantages of already having an all-star in hand is that stars want to play with stars. If you already have one here, it's easier to attract guys than if you're going from zero. You know, LeBron James and Chris Bosh go to Miami in 2010 because Dwayne Wade's already there. Whoever the Lakers get to play with LeBron is going to go to play with LeBron. Paul George stayed in Oklahoma because Russell Westbrook was already there. Guys want to play with other stars. So you've also taken the one incentive that guys had to come to New York in terms of being able to compete, and you've shipped him out. So now it's all or nothing. And I, look, if Durant and Kyrie Irving conspire to come here in tandem,
right, then
it works out.
Yep.
But if Durant, but is Durant going to come by himself to play with who? Kevin Knox and Dennis Smith Jr.? That team's not winning a lot of games. I mean, Durant's amazing, but that team's not beating Milwaukee, Toronto, and Philadelphia or Boston.
How about if it's like, if it's not Kyrie, let's say it's a Kemba Walker that comes here. I mean, he's a New York kid. He comes here with a guy like Kevin Durant. Is that a win for the Knicks? I would have to think so, right?
Kemba's a really, really, really good player who is really short for his position and is already, what, 30, 31? He's not at that same level. That's not Kyrie Irving. That's not Kawhi Leonard. In this day and age in the NBA, where there are still, you know, where you've got these super teams, or where you've got somebody like, you know, like the Bucks, they don't have that second, like, high-level star. You know, Chris Middleton is you know, now an all-star, but, you know, not at the same level as some others. But they've got Giannis, who is just this, you know, absolute, you know, unique quantity with the perfect cast around him. It took the Bucks years to create that cast. Can the Knicks manufacture that out of thin air? Again, Knox and Mitchell Robinson, Dennis Smith Jr., maybe they turn into players, but they're all really young, and youth doesn't win in the NBA. So even if you got Durant and Kyrie, Durant and you know, Kemba, which is a step down, you still need a high-level supporting cast. Look at what the Bucks have in their supporting cast. You know, guys like Bledsoe and Brogdon and Middleton, Brooke Lopez, some of their young guys who have really, you know, just carved out, you know, smaller roles with them. But it took years to build that roster. The Celtics have, three established all-stars and, two or three guys who, or at least two other guys who could become all-stars in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. The Sixers, you know, took years to build up their roster, and they've got three stars plus high-level role players. I just don't know how the Knicks, even if they – that's the problem here. If you got – the two stars, if that's the goal, and should be the goal, that's it. That's your cap room. Where are you getting these other players to fill out the roster and the rotation? So I just there's a lot of hitches and caveats in this thing.
One more for you, and I'll let you run. And I'm all excited, and everyone is about Durant and Kyrie, and that's the duo that you want. And people have called and said, well, you know, if you wind up with Chris Middleton and Kemba Walker, you're still a much better team. I don't want any part of that, Howard. I don't want to bring in two. Right, I mean, right, am I wrong with this? I mean, I don't want
no,
Jimmy
you're not.
Butler
you're,
and Chris Middleton. I don't want any part of that.
Listen, those are good players. Chris Middleton's a really, really phenomenal second or third banana. And Kemba Walker, let's face it, he's on a Charlotte team where he has to do everything. He's ideally, if you're a championship contender, Kemba's got to be probably your third best player.
Right.
So, you know, Tobias Harris, really good player. Is that the guy that the Knicks can build around for the future? No. So, yes, if they strike out on the top tier of Durant and Kawhi and Kyrie, Jimmy Butler maybe. If you strike out on those guys, and now you're just spending all that cap room on the second tier type stars, that's not moving you forward. And fans aren't going to be as excited about them as they were about Porzingis. Like, if you're going to have, you know, anything less than Durant and Kyrie, you might as well have Porzingis still, and not Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton. And that's no disrespect to those two guys. They're great players. I've had them both on my podcast. In fact, like, they're good guys, but it's not what's going to excite the fan base. It's not good. It's not what's going to put you in title contention. So, you know, and the Knicks have not shown the patience in the past when they've missed on their top targets to then say, well, we're just going to roll over the cap room. There's no patience in New York. If there were patience in New York, Porzingis would still be here. Yeah, but they still have Porzingis if they're being patient. I mean, they, you know, this is the other problem. Steve Mills said back in September, we're no longer doing that thing where we jump the first time we see a shiny object. And they just did it again. They traded away, a young star for the promise of cap room and the idea of getting Kevin Durant.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate a couple minutes of the podcast on Bleacher Report and host a full 48 podcast on iTunes. Appreciate it. Thank you. Enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow, Howard. Good stuff.
My pleasure. You too. Thanks.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.